Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us again this week. It's spring, the sun's shining where I am, and I hope that you've known the joy of Easter and you're knowing encouragement where you're listening from today. This podcast is brought to you by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and my name is Rick Hill, and we're really glad that you're joining with us. Today, for this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by two of our ministers who are both working in very different contexts, and so this is a chance to hear a little bit about their ministries and their congregations at this time, as well as explore our theme for this episode, which is around the whole area of how we can rebuild our life together as a church community, I guess when so much of our life has been fragmented over the past year. So firstly, I'm joined by the Reverend Helen Freeburn. Helen, I wonder what the weather's like on the West Coast today.
It's absolutely beautiful. Glorious. Yeah.
Brilliant. And we'll go from west to east and all the way over to the foot of the Moore Mountains to the Reverend David McCulloch. David, what's the Wi-Fi like there? That's maybe the question.
Oh, the Wi-Fi's great.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it.
Matches the sunshine.
Brilliant. David, well, kick off with you. Just tell folks a bit about yourself, maybe share some things about Annalong Presbyterian Church, where you minister.
Thanks, Rick. Yes, I'm minister down here in Annalong Presbyterian Church. I've been here for just about 2.5 years. Prior to this, my wife and I were global mission workers in Malawi, working with Scripture Union Malawi. So a bit of a change coming from Malawi to here, but I grew up in Katy in South Armagh, so grew up rural, coming back to what is a rural area as well. Annalong, traditionally a fishing village, but yet as you head towards the foot of the mountains, you have the farming industry as well. So we have a good mix. We're very much a community village church right at the centre of that.
And what's life like in the congregation over the past year or even recently as well?
I guess like we've all experienced, I don't know, there was maybe a bit of excitement in the first lockdown. How much banana bread were you going to make and all of that? And that, I think, with the good weather last summer, everyone was quite buoyant. We are a seaside town. We have holiday parks and caravan parks. And so we saw some of that coming back. And there was this great anticipation of life getting back to some routines come the summer and then the autumn. And of course, then we went into that mini lockdown and now lockdown again. And I think this time it's been harder, probably again because it's winter, darker nights, colder. People can't get out as much, the greater restrictions on what we can do. So I think people have struggled more this time than previous times. But as we're seeing that coming back with schools going back and now different opportunities to see people with keeping to restrictions, there is a greater momentum of people looking forward to what the next couple of weeks and months might hold for them.
Okay, well, we'll dig into that in a few moments, David, and you can tell us a bit more. Helen, maybe just introduce yourself as well to us, how you came to be even in Galway, and tell us about the congregation that you're leading there and what life is like.
Well, I'm Helen, and I was born in Offaly, Tullamore in the Midlands. I grew up near Dublin, kind of between Nice and Lucan. People know the churches there. And lived in France and done different things, and back here married to Dave, who's a proper Presbyterian, who keeps me right. But yeah, we're here in Galway 8 years. It's wonderful. Galway was kind of an easy transition in some ways for me when we moved here. God really opened doors for us to move here, and we found that a really strong call to Galway. I love France and speaking French. And when I moved here, I found a lot of the congregation were French speakers, and a Cameroonian lady at the door. I remember on my first day preaching, well, preaching really for, you know, to be called here. She said, it's when we heard the pastor coming spoke French, we praise God. And that was a real affirmation to me as well when we were moving here. So we're a united Presbyterian and Methodist church. So we're belonging to the two kind of denominations. So that's beautiful and brilliant and complicated as well, and challenging at times too. But we're right in the city centre. So we're easy to find for people if they're visiting Galway. We have city centre church kind of problems. So we don't have a car park, so people have to pay often to come to church. We don't have enough space for stuff. Our toilets are in a shed by our cemetery out the back. So if anyone listening wants to, God is leading you to give us lots of money to rebuild or come and build for us, that'd be brilliant. So yeah, that's us. We have challenges, but we have a great congregation made up of people from everywhere. And we've people who come, you know, a couple of hours nearly to come to church because we're quite remote. We're over 100 kilometres from other Presbyterian churches around us. So we've a core member who comes from Inishbofin. And when he comes to church, he has to leave on a Saturday in normal times and get the boat. So we're, yeah, eclectic mix.
Yeah, that's a brilliant context. And there's not too many people listening come to church by boat. So I really love that. Helen, thanks so much. And maybe, Helen, can you just tell us a bit about what life's like right now in terms of, you know, for you, it's nearly, I think it's almost a year of almost no church gatherings or certainly few church gatherings. How are you continuing to do ministry, connect together, build community after all this time?
Yeah, well, we've almost become more used to it now than when we're open with the building and having services because, you know, this is the way we've been doing it for most of this year, really. We were able to open in December. We've always opened the building when we could. We know that a lot of our folks really, really miss the in-person gatherings. And so we have tried to facilitate them each time with all the health and safety stuff going on and a booking in system in place. David spoke about maybe people feeling more hope and moving, you know, out of lockdown and restrictions and things, perhaps up north. And we know down here your vaccination program is going quite, you know, very well, it seems, and quickly. And it's a bit different down here. People are, yeah, they're weary from the winter, from the lockdown, and there's glimmers of hope. You know, the weather is improving, and we're able, just this week, we're able to go more than 5 kilometres from our house without a reason, you know, so you're allowed to stay within your county. The schools, all the kids are back at school this week, all of them. So that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant for parents, for children. But I think people are still feeling quite anxious, quite tired. Some people are getting vaccinated, are vulnerable, are medical, you know, healthcare workers, are elderly. But it's going to be a slow process. It's still difficult that way. And we can't have services yet in the building. And we don't know when we'll be able to. You know, I'm hoping for May, but it could be later than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the reasons, I suppose, I got you both on to talk today, because actually I think the two different contexts are helpful to us as we think about, you know, what re-emerging out of this looks like, to remember and realise there are different contexts and also there are different ways to go about this kind of rebuilding of community in our congregations. David, do you want to just share maybe in terms of life right now and Annalong in the congregation, some encouragements, maybe some challenges that you're seeing, sensing right now too?
I think I've been surprised. I don't think anyone expected encouragements in pandemic times. But again, because we're now a year in, we can look back, we can reflect, we can see how God has been at work. And practically, the number of people engaging with technology, we may have very fast internet here in the village, but you go 2 miles up to the foot of the mountains and let's just say get a hamster on a wheel, and that might be quicker than some of the internet connection. So you were faced with live streaming or any digital content you're wanting to put out. Was it going to reach people? But people have invested in new technology in their homes so that they can connect. And of course, I know it's not just church because there was education, everything like that. But the number of folks in their latter years who have got broadband in for the first time ever and a tablet was bought and the only time they use that is for church, that is such an encouragement, not just to me, but to the whole church family, that we still, there's still a sense of what we've missed and what we want. We continue to want to gather, be it on a screen or whatever, but wanting to be able to connect in that way. So we've also had people coming to faith, and that's been exciting to see. Whenever people haven't had the same connection with meetings and things like that, there are people asking questions, and we've had a number of folks coming to faith for the first time, be they teenagers or be they older people. That's been a huge encouragement to see God still at work. Whenever it was believed God couldn't work perhaps through a pandemic, he was working and has been working and is working, and we should never ignore what he has been doing. just because it hasn't been done within the traditional structures of what we're used to doesn't mean that he hasn't been doing it. And I think as we move into this period now, that certainly up here in Northern Ireland we're looking into, I'm encouraged by the conversations that it's not, well, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. I think there's a recognition that normal is gone from what we remember from the 23rd of March 2020, as if life was the best moment that it ever was at that point. You know, that would have been the chat, certainly before Christmas. But I think as we realised now and had gone through this tougher lockdown, we've realised that things aren't going to be the same again. And to me, that's encouraging because I think it gives the church breadth to think, well, what do we look like? How are we now placed in this post-pandemic society? But as there's much as encouragements, there's challenges, limitations of what we can do. We'd love to do more. We can't. We've done as best we can with videos for GB, BB, Sunday schools, and kids are tired of videos. Did we ever think we'd hear ourselves saying kids don't want to look at screens anymore? And they don't. And so there's been frustrations and challenges with that. Just being able to connect has been the challenge, but also the absence of community. You know, we've been looking to that technology to help us gather, and we've missed that. And I don't think we realised that until we maybe explored a little bit more in the last part of last year, Zoom and the options for breakout rooms and prayer groups and that, and how people enjoyed being together, even if it was only four or five and different four or five every time they met. But just that sense of community, just chatting, just smiling, just being able to look each other through a camera in the eye, but to know you were connecting in that way. So that's been the challenge. And I think that's also the greatest opportunity moving out of this for where we are at the minute.
It's interesting listening to David, actually, in a very different context, but talking about, let's say, Wi-Fi in the country and some places. I was thinking there, some of our members are in direct provision. So they're asylum seekers, and often their Wi-Fi isn't good. So sometimes if they're trying to join us on a Sunday for either service or for a coffee and tea kind of Zoom time that we have together, it's very difficult for them to connect with their Wi-Fi. And I'm also aware that they are joining perhaps from their room, you know, that they live in, because families live generally in one room in our direct provision system here. And they might have children running around or need to go to sleep or are, you know, doing homework or whatever. So we've had challenges, but then we've seen lots of blessings as well. And like David says, you know, God is on the move. And we've seen that even in, let's say, Bible studies where people can join who wouldn't normally be able to join for an evening Bible study if it was on in the church. And I mentioned somebody who lives on one of the islands off our coast. And for example, he can join. And one evening I remember he was on, and another person who lives about an hour or so away from Galway, another person joined in from work discreetly. And you know, things like that wouldn't happen if we were meeting, you know, in person. So we've seen lots of blessings. And I remember last year when we were preparing to open up the building for when we were able to have services, and I met somebody outside the church, a young lady, and she was just peering in, and she had been kind of drawn to the church, and she'd been journeying in her faith and coming to Jesus, really. And we got talking, and she ended up coming to our services. And every time we've opened, she's come, she's booked in immediately. And she said to me one day that she just loves our services. And that was just amazing for me, because I'm aware of everything that we're not doing that we'd normally be able to do, like our tea and coffee time and our praise time, because even in one of our lockdowns, we couldn't have even, you know, singing really. So I'm aware of all the things that aren't there. And yet for her, Jesus was there, the Bible was there, his people were there, the Spirit was there, everything was there that was needed. So there has been encouragements here, definitely. And, you know, all this past year, as you know, we've been asking questions. People have been asking questions about where they are in their life, maybe with God, for their children as well. And people have reconnected. I remember one family who used to just come sporadically, really, very sporadically to the church. And they told me that they were listening every Sunday morning around the kitchen table with all their kids gathered, you know, and that was just a wonderful picture for me of what God was doing. But yeah, moving forward, we're going to have to keep, I suppose, building those connections in all the ways that we can, using all the resources that we're learning and have learned to use. And then hopefully, as we have a bit more freedom, maybe we can start to do some of those things that we would love to do or we feel God prompting us to do.
I hear you starting to look ahead and think ahead there, Helen, just towards the end of what you said there. What do you sense is key? Are you having a different focus or mentality in your ministry and, you know, in these months ahead as you look forward? What's key for your ministry in this next phase?
I think dependence on God. You know, I know we're all saying this probably, and I've heard this in the podcast, and it seems like the holy response, but it's the only response I have, really, this dependence on God. Another encouragement for us during lockdowns was we had a 48-hour weekend of prayer every weekend. I called it a prayer wave. So people signed up to pray, you know, during the weekend. And we had we're quite a small church, but we had over 40, 45 people sign up every weekend to pray. And we started that in the first lockdown and it just kept going throughout the year and is still going now. Even though I think in the middle of the night, I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit's praying for us or something. I don't know if we're so faithful in the middle of the night, but that helped me to just depend on God and it helped us all to give all our requests to God for one another, because people are going through really, really difficult things. Some people are really going through ill health some people are going through residency issues and all different problems, but it helped us to give everything to God. The pandemic and everything. And I think that was a really good practice. And sometimes when we've opened up the building again, or, you know, life has returned a little bit more normal, maybe some of those practices have been left aside. And in one way, that's okay. But in another way, I think at this time that we're at down here anyway, we really need to lean into God and lean into Jesus and the Holy Spirit and look for opportunities. Letting God transform everything we do with a newness and a freshness. And I think that's really where I'm at the moment, where we're at. We'll continue to support the church, bless the church, teach, you know, pray for, try to steward as well as we can, myself and the leaders in the church. But ultimately, for those mission and outreach and all of those opportunities, we need to really entrust them to God in a new way, I think. But maybe it's remembering that God can use the little things that we do. And just on that, I have a picture in front of my desk, and it's of about 20 or 25 students in a small room in our flat at church, and it was taken years ago. And we used to do lunches regularly at church, and thankfully my husband would cook often for them, or other people, because I'm a terrible cook. But I look at this picture, and we really didn't have the resources for it. I mean, we had two small tables. We didn't probably have enough cutlery or plates, or organizationally wise, it wasn't great. We're all crammed in, but we look really happy. And it was a place of welcome to people who are far from home. And there was lots of joy there. And I think maybe going into this new season, I need to remember that again. And maybe some of the listeners do out there as well, because I can get quite discouraged, you know, probably like a lot of people, especially maybe when you're working in smaller churches. And, you know, if your leaders are really stretched, it's very hard sometimes to do things. And it's really good to remember that God will enable us to do what we're supposed to be doing, you know, and to give it all to him. And he opens up new opportunities. At Easter, again, I saw how God opened up new opportunities. We couldn't do what we normally would have done, but I was able to be part of lots of services online with other churches in Galway. And I was able to speak at a university event. And there was about 150 cameras, I think, logged on. And yeah, it was a really powerful evening. And so maybe I wouldn't have had that opportunity if I was in the normal busyness of life.
Rick, I was going to come in there and just want to pick up on something that Helen has just finished with, but also that she started with as well. And that is the technological learning that we've done. Now, I love technology, so it maybe comes naturally to me. I am now a retired ICT teacher, so, you know, it's always been there. But I don't want to lose what we've learned, because we've made use of this technology that perhaps was either too expensive for us before or too frightening. You know, we've now learned how to even with a camera. And I think, and this is a good thing, people's level of acceptance of what they receive through video has gone down. We don't have to be a broadcasting network. We can simply sit in a room with a camera. And perhaps as we think about people on the fringe, I can't see technology departing from us. And there's myriad of reasons for that. It's not just about looking at the numbers. And I think ministers, if they were going live or pre-records, whatever, we all looked at the numbers. And that was our benchmark, certainly in the first days of what people, how they were connecting. But I don't want to lose that connection, because we've missed 2 years of church effectively. There will be people who can't come back because they've aged so in 2 years, and just through natural progression of life won't be able to come out again. But they now have the technology to keep connected with this community that they've spent their life with. I think people in our communities are connecting quicker to videos now that they didn't used to. So the opportunity for outreach and evangelism that can be done with, you know, perhaps we come from a tradition here where we'd have the mission, it'd be a 1 week or 2 week mission, and there'd be months of planning in that. It's not that there's any less planning, but you can go further and wider. We did 5 videos before Easter there, thinking about life in unexpected places. And our viewing figures are more than I ever imagined they would be. Just 5 short videos done in and around familiar scenes here. I don't want us to lose that ability. I don't want us to get back into simply picking up where we left off that didn't include this form of technology, so that we can keep pushing what we do as a church, not knowing who's connecting in, not knowing. And that's okay not to know, because God does. And again, as Helen has said as well, we look to God, and we've known his goodness in this past year of how he has been transforming lives. And he'll continue to do that. And he's given us now this use of technology that we never had before.
It's really helpful, David, especially thinking about so that's really the focus of connection. You know, how do we connect out, or how do we connect wider? I mean, I guess what I'd love to think is the flip side of that for a moment as well then. So if we've got used to, or if we're beginning to think in our congregations, how do we continue to use technology to reach, how do we also rebuild some of the connection and community within the life of our congregation? So, you know, we've got used to being a part, maybe a little bit too used to it. You know, our homes most Sundays, lots of congregational activity suspended, lots of online engagement. I'm struck by Helen's story of, I think the phrase used was that you looked happy being together and the joy of being in a room. You know, how do you think we recapture some of that within the life of our congregations? How are you seeking to do that, David, man along, or thinking about that?
People have admitted, and freely admitted, and even at the very start shared photos of how they were doing church on a Sunday morning, and it was slippers and it was dressing gowns and it was copious amounts of coffee, it seemed. I didn't know what that said about the church services, but I think as we've gone on, I think people have got tired of that. It's not new anymore. It's not different. It's actually tiresome, because you're not getting out. I mean, I was one of the naive ones that said last April, oh, I can't wait to have, you know, we'll have a big church barbecue in June whenever all this is over. June, June, which year it's maybe looking like. But we're already thinking about, how do we get people back? How do we get people off the sofa? There will be people who will remain on the sofa, and we have to accept that. We won't be able to get everyone back that we once did. One of the things that surprised me, perhaps maybe different than other churches, I know a lot of folks did sign-ups. Well, we didn't do sign-up for when it came to opening our doors. We told people when to come, and maybe that's me, maybe that's just the way things are done down here. But we looked at our elders' districts and worked out how many can we fit in the building and which districts could come which week. Now, that was, for me, an information letter sent out by Royal Mail, and it was personalised to whoever, whatever home it was going into. Other people interpreted it as an invitation to come to church. That wasn't my, it was, here's when you can come back, let's get this done. But they read it as an invitation. And we had people who would have been on the fringe, who in my 2 years or year and a half at that point of only being here would never have seen a church. And all of a sudden they were coming the first time we opened our doors again. And they saw that as an invitation. I'm hopeful for that. And again, I go back to something I said earlier, that I think people have missed community, and I think they're starting to appreciate it again. But I think they enjoyed that within the church context because there was that commonality of Christ in what we did, in what we sang, in what we prayed, and what we learned together. And that's been very much a thrust of what I've tried to do here, is getting that idea that we grow together as the church. And I'm hoping that that is going to be what is going to keep people wanting to come back. It will be sad about people on the fringes. We will do what we can through, again, invitation for people to come back. We will hold events like a barbecue whenever we can. As we head into autumn, the traditional services of harvest and BBGB enrollment are big community moments. Fisherman service in February, Christmas. We've learned maybe a wee bit more about how to invite people from the community to those now, or even those on our fringes that they would normally, who would normally have come years ago but have dropped off somewhere along the way, or indeed in this past year. And so we'll be looking to those and what we've learned this year, hopefully put that in practice so that we can engage more in those normal and traditional. One thing I would love to hold whenever we can, and again, it's that idea of back shoulder to shoulder in the pews, is actually a community Thanksgiving service. We've had quite a number of deaths here that has not been able to be recognised as families would have wanted to. I think there's something about Thanksgiving there as well, that we should give thanks to God for his protection and his work over this past year. I think there's something about lamenting. How do we lament what we've lost? All these opportunities from God's word to point people to Christ, both people within the church and people outside the church, but having these moments and these services that are open invitation. It's not your traditional Sunday morning service, but something different, and you make it something different so that as folks come in, we can point them to Christ and our loving God for who he is and what he has done.
Yeah, I'm just, some of the things that David was saying there, I'm just thinking about them, and I really appreciate what he said about opening up. And I think something that's been going through my mind recently as well is because of our location, we're in the city centre, and it can take a while for people to drive in and park, etc. And I would love, for us to move out into different areas as well. So obviously at the moment, it's very difficult, or it'll be difficult for a while to rent a room. But there are rooms or community halls or hotels around Galway, and some of them are in areas where we have a good bit of the congregation living already. So they could come, we could do something like a praise evening or a kind of gentle kind of evangelism kind of evening, it'd be an easier thing perhaps to invite people to than into the city centre and into kind of more of a formal setup. So that they're kind of ideas I'm thinking about at the moment, because we are such a big area. I'm also aware for a lot of our students and teenagers, for our young people, I feel like they sometimes perhaps have disconnected a bit from kind of Sunday morning worship. We're kind of limited a little bit sometimes with leaders to do stuff here. So we couldn't have youth group really online for the last couple of months. They're in my heart kind of at the moment, especially. And last night we had a new members class, and some students came along who are, you know, a lot of them are living so far away from home. Some are from different countries in Africa. Some are from Brazil. And, you know, they've done lockdown kind of on their own. You know what I mean? They're away from family. And I think the family of the church, it's just so important. And people need all different reminders that we are a family, you know, gathered of people all around the world. And we can do lots of stuff online and through the phone, but it'll be different when we're in person. So I think a big lot of the core will come back. I think we need to invite, like David mentioned there, I think we need to invite people who are more on the fringe, reach out to them, say we'd love to see them, encourage them as much as we can, and then continue to do stuff online for those who won't be able to be, you know, present with us.
Yeah, I love that. We need to be reminded, or give reminders, that we are family, you know, and it strikes me as family. Sometimes you organise that. I was hearing from both of you, there was focused events, there was targeting different people groups in some ways, or age groups. But I'm also struck by the need just to get people together, to almost to be together with no agenda. And I know that sounds strange when we're talking about church, because there's a clear agenda, but I'm just kind of struck by that need to help people to be reminded that we are a family.
Rick, I think it'll be important to get everyone back as quickly as we can to build that sense of family again, because as a family, we've been fractured, we've been broken for the past year because we haven't had that connection. I've had a growing sense over these past number of weeks of great concern for our young people dropping off. And we've seen that. We've done videos for Sunday school, weekly videos. We've done a bi-weekly Zoom for senior Sunday school and for youth fellowship. And we're just seeing the numbers dropping. Whether it's because they're sick and tired of it, whether it's because they've got out of the habit of having to get up and go, whether just everyone's tired of having to look at a camera, I don't know. But as we look to September and what would be the natural start again for youth activities, I think we need to think differently about how we attract these young people back. Are our young people about to become on the fringe of church simply because of this year, or by that stage, a year and a half of a lack of very structured routine, which, you know, as we know from school, that's all young people are used to, is that structured routine. And because they haven't had that on a Sunday, then, you know, they're quite happy to stay at home and do whatever.
We're going to have an episode in a couple of weeks' time thinking about youth ministry, but that is, you know, that is definitely a key demographic. I mean, certainly I come from a background of youth ministry that was always taught youth ministry is essentially relational, and that's maybe one of the things that we have been grieving and lost and need to recapture in many ways as well. Before we move on, maybe just our last question, I'm just wondering if there's anything else you want to kind of add around this theme of rebuilding community.
Yeah, I had thought of this and I have been thinking about it. And I think we have an opportunity that I don't think churches should miss. You know, again, there may be people who are wanting to get back to pre-23rd of March, but that may not be what is best for our congregations. And I think we have a wonderful opportunity to assess. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we're throwing everything out and starting everything new. That's not practical. That's not right. But I think as leaders, we have a duty to assess what we have learned in this year. What have we missed? What have we not missed? What has been important? What has not been important? As we look at our finances, whether they're decreasing or they're staying the same, where are we going to invest this kingdom money so that we can be prepared for ministry post-pandemic, but also as we now head into the 2020s and whatever that will look like? You know, we've seen the shifts already socially. We've just talked about fringe. You know, will there be more and more of a fringe? What do we do with that fringe? But also, what about the core? Is it a stronger core? What does that stronger core need? And so I think we have an opportunity that we shouldn't miss as we now move towards some sort of getting church back to fully going again.
I think for me, I need to also celebrate, like we've been talking about, where God has been at work and what he's been doing. And I suppose as we're coming to the end of this, I also think it's important for me to celebrate and give thanks to God for the people that he's placed here and what and how he's using them. And like has been mentioned, maybe we need to, as we go forward, let some things go. You know, as the gardener, as God the Father prunes the branches to make them more fruitful. You know, some of the activities maybe that we've done in the past were good at the time, but they're not. You know, they're not for now. When I was thinking about that recently, I was thinking about when I visited my mum during one of the lockdowns just to help her with something. She lives on her own and she needed a haircut. and so did I. I haven't been to the hairdresser in a long time. And she was supposed to, she said, how much do you want off? And I said, oh, just trim it as well. Next time I looked down the kitchen floor and like there was wads of my hair on the floor and she just got lobbed it all off. And I said to her, was my hair annoying you, mum? And she's like, no, it's fine. Just tidying it up. And anyway, she was right to cut it off. I needed my hair cut. And sometimes, you know, in life, we realize that God needs to cut away, you know, stuff from us. Sometimes it's not healthy for us. And sometimes simpler and less is more. And that's the same with teaching, with all aspects of our church service. And as we've already talked about, it's such an uncertain time. This year is going to be uncertain at different moments. And we're going to just have to use what God has given us as the scattered people of God who are united by his spirit.
Yeah. David, is there something from scripture that's been encouraging you recently?
It's actually been a passage that's been encouraging me for the past 2.5 years since coming down along. I kind of hit the road running here with lots of funerals within first couple of weeks, first year, started off into the second year. So I was told that this doesn't normally happen at every funeral, you know, that there's another funeral so close to the previous one, but it seems to how things have been for these past 2.5 years. And a verse that I've often shared with families, but I think has become more perhaps meaningful to me, is Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 24. Right in the middle of this lamenting of what's happening with God's people, we read these words of encouragement where it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." And I think I was not prepared. Helen and I are the same year group at Union. We graduated at the same time, and we were not prepared for a pandemic. No minister was prepared for a pandemic. None of us were ever taught how to use a camera and how to do pre-records or live streams. You know, if we did, it was a group of guys at the back who did all of that and push buttons, and we just did what we always did. And there's been times felt just completely out of your depth. There's also been times where you've questioned what you're doing because of the comparisons that are being made with other congregations. And that can be dangerous to allow to get into your heart, because then you're second guessing everything and you stop listening to God and you listen to yourself and you listen to the world. But Lamentations 3, in the middle of the chaos that it records, comes back where the Lord is my portion. His mercies are new every day. And I think in this past year, that's all I've been able to, and we as a family here have been able to rely on. And we've just had to remind ourselves that we get through this day by the grace of God, because he is good, he is gracious, his mercies never come to an end. And as tired and perhaps even rejected you might feel at the end of a day, you know, well, whatever tomorrow brings, I have the Lord's mercies to see me through, because he is good and he will be my portion.
Thanks so much, David. Helen, do you want to scripture?
Yeah, well, just on my desk here, I have a little card and it's got these words from Isaiah 41 on it, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That reminder from Isaiah as well, that's repeated throughout the scriptures, of that we don't need to fear, don't need to be afraid, that God is with us. And we remember that, of course, powerfully at Easter when Jesus appears and to the women and the disciples, and he reminds them that he's with them. And he says then later that he'll be with them always. And with all of us, with our questions and uncertainties, and as David mentioned there, we can feel quite very challenged, sometimes overwhelmed with the difficulties. But God is with us. We don't need to be afraid. And that's just a real help for me every day, remembering that.
Well, we're cheering you on, and thanks for what you've shared today, and thanks for how you've reminded us of some of the encouragements and you know, of how God has been and is on the move within your congregations, even in the midst of all this as well. And thanks for bringing in, I don't know whether it's a north and south perspective or an east and west perspective, but thanks for sharing with us today. I really, really appreciate it. And normally as we finish each episode, it's my job to point you, the listener, towards the PCI website to offer you some resources or training that might help you to explore these times. And of course, I want to do that. But I'm also struck today, as I've listened to David and Helen, how this job of rebuilding the life within each of our congregations doesn't just and shouldn't just lie on the shoulders of ministers like we've been hearing from today, but actually on all of us. So just before I sign off and maybe you stop listening, I'd love to encourage you to pause for a moment to reflect on what you could be doing to help develop fellowship and community where you are. So, you know, how could you connect with someone in the fringes of your fellowship, or who do you need to be intentional with? What could you do to encourage someone who serves, or who do you need to pray for or even pray with? How could you offer your time or your service that might help to develop your life together? And in the words of Romans 12, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.